This episode is brought to you by Skillshare.
Hey, man.
Oh, what's up?
Hey, have you ever heard of remote viewing?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's where I usually just go to the store and do it. I go to the store in the remote aisle, and I just view them. I pull up a chair, and I go, these are some nice remotes. These are beautiful.
No.
That's not it?
What about, have you ever heard of Project Stargate?
That was such a dramatic term. Remote viewing is whenever you can... Are you trying to talk... What am I doing?
Why do we leave in my bad jokes? But when you tell jokes,
I have a profession on the line. I walked in here today and I said, whatever Tim says is a load of crap. We're real life friends.
Are you talking about you and me?
Yep.
Oh, we're not real friends.
Dude, my questions aren't out of interest. My questions are to shame you.
Things I learned last night.
My brain just was like, someone's trying to remote view this. Are you talking about like Team Viewer?
No.
Where, do you know what that is?
Is that where you can like remotely
the software, yeah, log you can remote log into someone's thing?
No.
Okay.
What about Gondola Wish?
Gondola Wish? I feel like the YouTube comments on this are going to be pretty rough.
What about Grill Flame?
Dude, every time that you do one of these like weird government hole kind of things, I mean, I get it because you looked at the stats from the Bob Lazar episode.
Okay.
And you were like, we got a lot of viewers. We have a higher Google result than Joe Rogan's interview with actual Bob Lazar. I understand that the stats work or whatever, but I also understand that I had to delete so many YouTube comments.
Here's the thing. That's not my motivation. This crap interests the crime. and the algorithms know it. So they just keep putting this stuff
in front of you.
Yeah. And
Wikipedia's algorithm.
Yeah. Wikipedia's got a good algorithm.
They got a good algorithm that they're just hooking you in.
They want you to spend more time on
Project Star Lord.
Stargate. Yeah. Also known as Operation Centerlane, Project CF, Sunstreak.
I just feel like it's so many.
Yeah. Here's what I think happens is I think the CIA just gets together and they're like, okay, so we're going to do something. What should we call it? And everybody's just like, oh, I got this really cool name I thought of. It's like when middle schoolers come up with their band names.
Oh yeah. And everyone's like, and he was like, what is... Yeah, that's what I was trying to get to, like, was that the band name changes every month.
Yeah, and then a couple months later they're like, hey, their mom is like, hey, how's Stargate going? Mom, we're Gondola Wish.
Check out our fresh merchandise.
What if the CIA made merch for their covert operations?
Well, they don't have to because we did. It's right below. What is it? Operation Stargate?
Yeah, there's
yeah. Stargate. You can see Stargate.
Grill Flame, Gondola Wish.
Pope on a gondola.
Sunstreak. Gondola Wish. What is the Pope make a lot of wishes?
Gondola.
Gondola.
Okay, wish. I was saying Pope on a gondola.
I don't know what that means.
The Pope rides a gondola around.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Like, are there a lot of those at the Vatican?
Well, it's not his only mode of transport. He's not like, I gotta go to the bathroom, guys. Bring the gondola.
Oh, you're talking like a stair lift.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
I'm talking like a ski lift. Oh. Which I guess is the same thing. It's just a different application.
Yeah. A gondola.
I was thinking he just had a bunch of those at the Vatican. Like, everywhere he went, he's just like, gotta jump in the ski lift. And he like picture
the Pope on skis,
just like sitting there in front of it, waiting for it to catch him, and just
yeah. Do you think he does the bunny slope, or do you think he's like full out? Like,
oh yeah, he's a double black diamond for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
A double black diamond. And like, does he wear the robe? Like, that's hard to ski in a robe, you know.
Yeah, it would be.
The Pope slopes is what they are.
Oh! Pope on the slope.
That's also a sticker down below. What if I just merch every minute of the video? Joke. Pope on the slopes.
I love that. So I feel like before we jump into this topic,
great,
I think there's two things we need to say.
Okay.
First, do you have anything to say?
I have very much things. If you've made it this far into the YouTube episode, I am not on board with the conspiracy theories. I also don't care. So you're going to comment and
this
call
isn't us. A conspiracy theory though.
Okay. I don't care what it is. I don't know what it is.
Well, part of it kind of is.
Actually. I'm trying to say, like, if you're going to comment and be like, these two are morons, I'm fully aware that he's a moron.
I have never claimed to believe anything we talk about.
Okay, great.
There's nothing we've ever talked about in an episode where I've claimed to say, I believe this is fact. Especially the episodes about facts. About actual facts.
Disclaimer, we don't believe in anything.
We believe nothing is true.
I've deconstructed my reality. anyway. So, okay, go on about it. What do you have to say?
Oh, so disclaimer. Honestly, this is I guess the latter half of this will be kind of conspiracy theory ish. Okay. The first half,
I'm gonna go ahead and leave.
The first half is actually like there's pretty solid science around it.
Okay.
And I will say this. This hurt my sensation of reality.
Jason, okay.
So if I would recommend. Do what you will with this, but I would recommend if you're listening or watching, watch it at a time where you don't have to like go to work or do something important right afterwards.
What are you going to ruin like, the rest of my day?
Go lay down after this.
It's kind of like after you get the vaccine, like just go take a few
just
days.
Plan on taking a couple days. You've got some PTO racked up. I'm half vaxxed.
Half vaxxed.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Halfway there.
Does that mean that your mom is vaxxed and your dad isn't?
I think that's fair. Is that funny? That's really funny. I think you can say that.
You think I can't?
I don't know what that would imply. That's bad. That you can't say.
Oh, man, I'm going to try it on Twitter today and see if I get canceled, I guess. And then if I get canceled, we will cut this joke out.
There you go. Perfect. So, yeah.
Just cut out the part where I was hesitant about it. You know, just make it look like I was confident with that joke.
Just knew it was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if I display hesitancy, then people are like, you
knew it was bad.
But I don't think it is.
I don't think it is.
That's why I said it.
I think you have to stretch to make it bad.
Okay. Great.
Okay.
Same with. Never mind. All right. So you're saying that the rest of my day is going to be ruined.
You know, honestly, I feel like you're just going to write this whole thing off.
Yeah, 100%. I've already done that. I don't even know what it is. I mean, I walked in here today and I said, whatever Tim says is a load of crap. So I'm glad that we're in agreement here.
But if you think you might take this seriously, just plan on taking a little nap after this or something. Like you're gonna need a moment to yourself.
Okay, so let's get into it then.
It's a dense topic. Well, I had something else to say though.
Okay, what's your other thing?
We started a Discord.
Oh, we did. Yes, you're right.
Yeah, tell me about it.
I wish I could. I wish I knew what Discord was. I just know we have one. This is why I feel like the family member, like I feel like the grandma, where you're just like, hey, grandma, why don't you tell everybody about our family group chat? And she's just like, she just got an iPhone.
Yeah.
And she's like, ah, well, you know, you can send something and I'll get it.
It's like this, but in a phone.
Yeah. So we started a Discord. It's available only to Patreon members. Mm-hmm. And that's at the both levels. We have a $5 and a $25 tier. And everyone who supports on Patreon is going to, and that's, we check that every day.
Yep.
So we'll be able to hang out, talk and answer questions and
send
memes.
Yeah. You can talk about we got channels to talk about our episodes, to give us ideas for new episodes.
And you get early access to merch and stuff. I'll send the merch links and stuff out in Discord and on Patreon. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll give early announcements too. And then we're going to do something crazy. It'll be cool. I'm excited about it.
That's Discord.
That's Discord.
It's super easy to use. If you're like me, I logged in last night. I was like, I don't know what this is, but I logged in and it's just like a big group chat. Mm-hmm. So it's basically like if we were just real life friends.
Yeah, it'll be
fun.
Which we are, if you're listening.
We are. We're real life friends.
Are you talking about you and me?
Yep.
Oh. We're not real life friends.
This is all a show.
All right. So let's jump into this from the beginning. I'll give you a...
Yeah, where do we even start? It's going to ruin my whole day.
Well, here, we'll start with this.
I got to clear my schedule.
So I'll give you a brief... Let's call this an abstract of what this is.
Okay.
So remote viewing is a concept that essentially a person who's well-trained in this could sit down in a room and... after a little bit, be able to view a location they are not physically at with surprising accuracy.
I've seen these TikToks.
What?
Yeah, it's like a game where they're looking at a picture in Google Maps and they go, okay, this is Spain.
What is that?
So Geo something?
Geo. I've seen that too.
And they're so obnoxious about it too. Like they are so arrogant. And
they're very,
they're really good, but they're also, they look at the picture and be like, okay, this tree. Okay. Full. First of all, that tree is called blah, 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 blah. And it is only in the Philippines. And you're just like, oh, you're a nerd.
Geo-guesser is what it is.
Geo-guesser. That's right. Yeah. What is geocaching?
That's where you just hide stuff in the world and hope someone finds it.
I've been doing that for a long time then. So yeah, I can't wait for people to find
hide this here.
You know.
No, so this is like, so if you were to do this, you would sit down right here. So
you would sit down and you basically, not physically, teleport somewhere.
Yeah, and you would observe that. Yeah, in your brain you would observe Times Square. And take notes on what you were seeing, maybe draw some sketches. And there's surprising accuracy to it. So without revealing too much, let's,
so I could do this.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I, you show me a picture of Times Square and then I'll close my eyes. Is that how it works?
Not even close.
I mean, like they had to have seen pictures of the place before.
No. So they don't. So it's typically not used in places.
Can I train my brain to do this?
Yes. Yeah.
You're full of it.
Okay. So here's, we'll start with the history. We'll start with the history and then kind of go from there.
Okay.
So this has been something that people have claimed to be able to do for a long time. But in the 70s, was an era where psychics were really popular. Everyone was like
pop culture. Yeah, you know what else was really popular? LSD.
That's exactly what I thought you were going to say.
Freaking drugs.
Yeah. So psychics were really popular.
Psychedelics were also popular.
Pop culture was like, psychics, woo. You know how pop culture is. So
you know when me and Reagan first started dating, she went to a psychic. I almost broke up with her over it. She's so embarrassed if I tell this, by the way.
Yeah.
She went to it was when she was first moving out to Los Angeles. She went to the psychic. She bought the $600 rock.
Oh my gosh.
And it's like supposed to absorb your negative energy. I wasn't allowed to touch it.
Oh my goodness.
I went to her apartment one time. It was on the counter and I was like, what is this? She goes, don't touch that. It'll absorb your energy. And I was like, oh
man, it really sounds like you guys are unequally yoked.
Oh my God. Oh, I hate you for that. That's funny. That's funny.
Yeah. So people were really,
so what I was saying at the very beginning is accurate. Right now in my head, I can. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I'm at Walmart. I see the TV remotes. They have buttons.
Can you describe the buttons to me?
Yeah. They're round and they say 1, 2, 3, 4.
Is there a 7?
There is a 7. There's an input button, a guide button. This one's got a...
Is there an input jack?
I don't know anybody named Jack. This one's... Is it very mellow like that? Is it very like meditated kind of thing? Or is it like spazzing out like in the movies where you're just like, I see ya.
Yeah. So sort of, let's continue with the history.
Okay.
So psychics were really popular. People were amped on them. There's all these like tabloids and like weird TV shows that were doing specials on these quote unquote psychics, and people were spending $600 on rocks. And there was a lot of psychics that were like exploiting people in this, obviously. And for the most part, everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people were like, this is fake. You know, these people are faking this, it's not real. But that was until, in like 71, 72, there was this video that came out of a Russian scientist with a subject who was supposedly a Russian agent who had telekinesis. Like, she can move stuff with her brain. And the video was really dumb. Like, they're sitting at this table, and this lady was sitting there.
She's sitting on the table. On the table is a Toshiba laptop, right? And she's just sitting there.
In 72.
And you just see it like, And then, like, you see a football player run after it, right?
What? Is this a commercial?
No, it's a callback to our last episode, but I'm glad you don't remember anything.
I don't remember it. I don't remember it at all.
Maybe you should take a second and, you know, remote view our last episode.
Okay. I see.
Golly, dude.
The sewer thing.
Yeah. I can't believe you're my co-host for this. Jeez. It feels like I'm carrying the weight of the, you know, callbacks.
You're carrying the memory weight for sure. That's true. For sure. If we played one of those memory games, you would win.
Bro, we should do the Amazing Race. And I'm not joking.
Like, bro.
We should. Should we try to do the Amazing Race?
That would be fun.
You and I?
Do they still do that?
I mean, yeah.
Really? Yeah. I haven't seen this since like 2008.
I don't know. Do they still do it, Alex?
Alex is like,
will you Google it?
I don't know.
My computer's right there. No, we have Alex here.
He's never Googled something for us.
All right, Google if they still do the Amazing Race. Are you connected to my Wi-Fi? My password is the same as my bank password. It is.
Yeah, I mean, they got a season 32.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Nobody watches it anymore, but it's fun to do.
Yeah, what the frick? I can't believe
this. Well, now, this year, The Amazing Race is just virtual. You know, they do it over Zoom. it's whoever has the fastest Wi-Fi.
We set a Toshiba in Times Square.
You know, that's how geo-guessing started, is they were like, all right, we can't do The Amazing Race. But
so, where are you?
And I'll do all the memory things.
Yeah, I won't. So they put this watch on this table, and this lady was doing, like, she was the over-the-top. She's like, closing her eyes and moving her hands real crazy and like moving her hands like this cross circular motion thing over the watch. And then you see the watch just like subtly just barely move. And then she just acts exhausted. Like, she falls over in her chair and like just like so fake, like so fake. And like, especially,
I mean, imagine the use for that though. There isn't any, but imagine the, you know, they're just like, oh my gosh, look at how crazy she can turn a watch on the table. It takes every part of her energy for the day to do this very small, insignificant very change. Little.
Yeah. But she, I mean, she's
revolutionary.
She's flipping switches.
She's a hero.
US aircraft carriers is what she's doing.
Is that what the idea was?
I don't know. But it's very clear. Like, have you ever like,
she tries to, and then the pilot is just up there and his watch just goes,
like, what the heck?
Okay. Yeah, literally. Doesn't make a change at all. Just the watch goes,
He's like, someone just pull on my watch.
Yeah. Did someone reset my watch back an hour?
Did someone just like very subtly tug on my watch? Like very subtly.
Just,
very just so subtle. But and so this freaked the US out, because this is like Cold War era. I don't, so it's like, yeah. Russia does something and they're like, oh, we gotta do that better than they're doing it, because they use it against us. So
they were already experimenting with whatever,
MK Ultra.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Trying to get to. And so the US government was
really
like,
proud of you for remembering that.
So the US government was like, we got to see if we can do this too. We need to figure this out. So they just called up all the people who claimed to be psychics that were on like the phone book and they saw on TV and stuff. And they sent them to California and they hired this lab called the Stanford Research Institute, which is not associated with Stanford University. It's like a private research institute, but it's got,
they just call it Stanford.
Yeah. Cause they were like, that makes us more,
we should start a research institute called the Harvard Research Institute, you know,
yeah.
Or, I mean, if we're going to go more prestigious, the Evangel Research Institute.
That's good. Yeah. So it's not affiliated. It's a private institute, but it had a good reputation. And they had a couple dozen PhD level researchers on staff, and then like 50 or so master's level researchers and stuff. So they were highly educated, and they had worked on like some pretty serious theories and proven or disproven them. So it was a noteworthy research institute. This isn't just like Joe Blow and his uncle who are like, yeah, we'll study the psychics for you.
Oh, got it. Yeah.
And so they hire them, paid them this grant to do the research, sent them all these supposed psychics.
It's always a guy in a movie where they show up at his like abandoned shack that he lives in, and he's just got like a wall of dictionaries, and they show up and they're like, hey, we're trying to figure out like this lady in Russia moved a watch. And he was like,
did give me she 3 weeks. It
this direction? And they're like, yeah. And he goes, oh. And the whole time they're talking and he's not paying attention at all.
He's typing. Just,
not typing. He's looking through his dictionaries. He's a very analog learner. Oh, yes. The gondola. You know? He's like, he's got a really like not taken care of mustache or whatever. And it's just kind of, he's like, and he closes his eyes. I see a remote. You know? And they're like, what, dude, what? And
what then is happening right now?
Yeah, they walk out in the car. You know, obviously one of the people in the two, it's a duo, it's a guy and a girl.
Yeah.
Right? The guy's a skeptic.
He's like,
this guy's full of it. And the girl's like, no, I really think.
I believe in him.
We're writing movies every episode. I'm telling you what. All right? The guy, his twin's a murderer. Okay?
Yep.
You know?
Obviously.
Anyway.
So they're trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
They take all these psychics, they start studying them. And what was interesting about this is,
do psychics sign up for that?
No, the government just called them and was like, hey, we're going to send you to California.
What are you finding? Called them up and was like, hey, are you a psychic? And they were like, I was expecting your call.
They found these people because these people, it was popular at the time. So they were doing these interviews and they had their like, practice. So they
it's
had like
that
a
lady
yellow
on
pages
Glenstone thing. In Springfield who had her psychic.
Yeah. So they just called these people up and were like, hey, go to California. And they did. And they did the research. And it was interesting because the people at the Stanford Research Institute, they were intentionally very quiet about this. They didn't want it getting out that they were researching this, but it was like a really big contract. So they were like, well, we're going to take it. But they were like, this is ridiculous. And so a lot of the researchers that were tasked with it wouldn't talk about it. They didn't want it to be on the record because they were like, this is ridiculous. And I don't want to get labeled as like a pseudoscientist. And so they were very like not interested in being involved with it, but they had to, it was their job. Hey, we want to take a quick second to thank today's sponsor, Skillshare. If you've ever tried to do something and you just couldn't do it, Skillshare is the service for you.
What is Skillshare?
Skillshare is an online learning community with thousands of classes in design, business, technology, anything you want to learn, you can learn on Skillshare. It is one account that you set up and you get access to all of these different lessons from some of the top people in those fields, teaching you how to do all those different things. We have a special deal right now. You can get 30% off your first year of premium. And all you got to do is go to tillin.com/Skillshare. That's tillin.com/Skillshare. Sign up today. So the research begins. They put a couple,
because they immediately were like, "This is all."
Yeah, they were like,
garbage.
"This is bogus." So they put a handful of their PhD researchers on it, and then a bunch more of their lower level, master's level researchers on the project. And they had quickly discovered most of it was bogus. Like a lot of the telekinesis stuff, the guys who were like bending spoons with their mind, all the mind readers, like most of that stuff was bogus. But the one that they were perplexed on was remote viewing. And the way they were testing this is they sat down with these people who, they didn't call it remote viewing. They all had different names for what it was, most like mystical type of names, but the institute named it remote viewing. And what was interesting about it is what they would do is they would sit down with these people who claimed to be able to do it. And in one room would be a subject, so a viewer and a researcher, and then the next room over would be another researcher, and they'd have radios, and they would have a table in both rooms with 10 light bulbs in a ring on the table, and they were labeled. And so in the other room, the researcher would flick on a light bulb and over the radio say, okay, one of them's on. And then the remote viewer would have to tap the light bulb that they thought was on. And so they get instant feedback if they were correct or incorrect. And what they found was that there was a pretty, there was a range of about 30% to 80% accuracy. But they were like, wow, there's some people who are pretty consistently correct on this. And so they continued to,
okay,
to just continue to repeat this with all of these people who claim to do it. And what was really, really fascinating to them is over time, the people who were lower on the scale, they improved. So the more they practiced it, they were able to have a higher...
So it's like a muscle they were training.
Yeah. They had a higher frequency of being able to get this correct. So they upped the ante a little bit. They created this deck of flashcards with shapes on them. They would shuffle it. The researcher would go in the other room. He'd draw a card. And then they would have to say what shape was on the card. And
imagine being that researcher, though. You're just alone in the other room. And you're just...
Yeah, Todd, he says square.
Well, I'll be in.
You guys are like, messing with me, aren't you? Mark,
yeah. He's like, oh, he's like looking around the room for the camera. He's like, oh.
Am I all punked? Where's Ashton?
Yeah, in the 70s.
That's somebody's show, right?
He's like, where's Ashton? Ashton, that's a good name for my child. Maybe one day he'll grow up. Maybe he'll grow up to run a prank show one day. All right, the next one. Here we go. I guess it's the stuff he's thinking about.
So then they added colors to the shapes, and they would have to identify the shape and the color. And what was interesting
is
it
didn't
really matter the experiment that they did. Each individual got around the same percentage correct in whatever experiment they were doing. And the ones that were higher, they would increase over time, but it was more like 0.5%, 1%. It was very minimal improvements. But the people who were at the starting at 30% or 40% started moving up to like closer to 50% and 60% the more they were testing them. And so it was really interesting to them. And what they wanted to get to, and what these people claimed they could do, is they could view anywhere in the world, is what they said they could do. So they said
spies.
Yeah. So they said, okay, well, so now that
we can use that,
they, so they started to be say, okay, well, we've got some pretty clear evidence that this is actually working. It's not perfect, but they can do this. And so they started this massive.
So but this is the next room. Did they do experiments where like across the building and like in the, you know, a couple miles away?
Yeah. So they just jumped and went, okay, there would
did
be.
They just jumped straight to, can you look at Russia right now?
Well, what they did is they got together two They're stacks.
Like, what color flashcard is Vladimir Putin holding up right now? And they were like, who? And they're like, listen, he's the kid. He's the child.
He's
right
like
now,
16 in Russia, learning about shapes. Learning
about, you know, the public education is not super advanced. He's over there, oh, it is, or whatever they sound like.
Whatever.
You know? And he's like, oh, yeah. So they just jumped straight to like looking at Russia.
Well, not really. What they did is, they had a researcher who would sit down and he would prepare two stacks of manila envelopes. And each stack had the same
information in it.
But every stack had, so like there was, it was basically a deck of 50 locations and there was two sets of them. They'd shuffle them and then they would hand it to the researchers and they would say, okay, you're tied to this piece of paper. And they would, it was a 30 minute radius from their lab. And the field researchers would go to their location and they would take a camera with them. And then the people in the lab, when they left, they'd start a timer and wait 30 minutes. The researcher in the room, the remote viewer had never opened the envelope. And the person who was going somewhere had never opened the envelope until they started the timer. And then the person going opened the envelope, traveled to that location, started taking pictures. And then when 30 minutes went up, that person would start their session where they would have to describe the location. And it was the same results, like same percentages. The people who were scoring around 80 would get around 80% accuracy, to the point where they were identifying people that were
doing it off of like GPS coordinates.
Yeah. So what they did is, they had, like longitude, latitudes they were giving them. And so they would go to that.
And these remote viewers could do that off of longitude, latitude.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. So they
don't buy it.
And they could identify people who were there and like identify it. Things that were happening. And they would sketch the pictures. They would write out what they were seeing. And that person would go take the pictures. They'd come back and they'd compare the photos with their description. And it was a similar success rating.
They were like, listen, you're really good at remote viewing, but you're really bad at drawing. I don't know.
And so they had this success rate that they said.
Do you think someone's watching us right now? You think someone's remote viewing us right now?
It's spooky. It's spooky when you think about it. Because it could be. I mean,
they couldn't.
Okay, so.
Okay. I'll sleep fine tonight.
So Stanford Research Institute, as you read their papers, as you read their papers, it starts out and they're kind of like, yeah, this is bogus. All these psychics are lying. And then it's like they slowly become.
The whole paper is just like, yeah, they're lying. They're like, except for remote viewers. And I was like, wait, what was that last sentence?
Wait, hold up. Yeah. So they talk about the remote viewers. And as you see the research reviews of every study, there's the reviews out there. And all of them, like the way they talk about it is they're using like, they're really hyperbolic. They're like, we can't believe that. Like, we don't understand how this is happening.
Right.
The accuracy is astounding. Basically they're saying there's clearly something here. We don't understand it. And it's kind of blowing our minds. But they're able to be accurate with it and they're able to improve. And so what the researchers identified is they said that they believe that anybody has the ability to have this skill.
Oh,
they said that some
people, I didn't know if it was like something that they're born with or whatever.
Yeah. They compare it to like music or athletics. They said some people are naturally better at it than others, but anybody can develop the skill and hone it. Obviously certain people have a head start, and pick it up faster than others and improve faster than others. But they said from our research, anybody can learn it. And so they actually, to prove that, they actually started bringing in other people who didn't claim to have this ability. And they started putting them through that same process, training them, and they saw similar improvement rates.
Well, I want to do it.
Well, I mean, just give it a shot. There's actually like training materials out there.
You get like a remote viewer license or whatever.
Right, they've got like classes you could take. Yeah, there's a master class.
I was just gonna do it. I was gonna do the what's the one that's
Skillshare.
Art? Skillshare.
Yeah, there's a Skillshare on it. So they publish these results. They give them back to the CIA.
Well, I don't want to pay for master class. What I want to do is when I get better at master at remote viewing. I also want to get better at English, but I want to get better at remote viewing, and then I just want to. I'm going to spy on the person who teaches the masterclass. That's what I'm trying to say.
I had a feeling.
How are you doing it?
So they gave it back to the government. The government was like, sweet, we can run with this. And so they took the top performers from that research study and they sent them to Fort Meade, Maryland, and they developed a training facility for this. And so they took the top performers, and the top performers literally took army recruits.
They can't look outside of the time that's happening though. They're looking at the present moment in that location.
That's what Stanford Research Institute tested.
Okay.
And that's where the most science is found.
Is that they were able to look at the present.
The present time. Okay. Yes. They got to Fort Meade and they started bringing in like actual army recruits, like kids out of high school who joined the army. They'd send up to Fort Meade and they would start being trained to do this. And it was the same type of thing that they were discovering at the research institute. Some people had more of a hot natural ability and got better at it faster. Some people, they would train them for a little bit and they'd say, hey, we think you're better for a different program. And they'd kick them out basically. And they ended up developing, about 25, what they called top level. So
while some kids were in Vietnam, you know, losing limbs, other kids were just in a weird office building, just going
in Maryland,
red triangle. That's and,
yeah, you're not wrong. So they built this program and over time they ended up getting about a little over 20, what they called the highly skilled individuals. And they named them agents. They were CIA agents who their position in CIA was to do these remote viewing operations. They gave them weird names. Yeah, Grill Flame, Gondola Witch, Stargate.
I hate that.
Here's what's nuts about it. They ended up, I don't know if you want to say sending or using these agents on over 25,000 operations.
Oh my gosh.
From like 77 to 95.
All through the 80s they were doing this?
Mm-hmm. And what's wild is they were using...
And people are like, I don't want to have an iPhone because the government's going to spy on me. Joke's on you.
Joke's on you. It doesn't matter.
They have people who can literally do it just naturally.
On their own. Forget the iPhone. They're just...
I just love that, the, you know, Agent Charboiled over there just... just like, I don't need you to have an iPhone. You know? It's freaking weird, dude. Yeah.
That got me good.
It's a bummer if they're like, tell us what your bedroom looks like right now. And he's just like, I got to go home. And they're like, what happened? And he found out his wife was cheating on him. Oh, it was pretty rough.
Bummer.
But I guess you would always know.
You would. You could.
Is it an invasion of privacy to do that to your spouse?
Yeah, absolutely. So here's the thing. They're...
You'd save so much money on Ring doorbells, I guess. I'm trying to think of, like, you know, all the practical things of this. Like,
yeah, you're trying to get a business application.
Dude, I would order a DoorDash and then I would sit on my couch and just look at my front door. Not through the peephole. Through remote viewing. Because I couldn't be bothered to stand 12 feet away from the comfort of my couch. I could just go, is it here yet? Not yet.
So this was actually used in a lot of high profile situations.
I just think it's so bogus, but go ahead. Yeah.
So a couple of the most noteworthy operations that they had through this period was one of them. There was this downed Soviet bomber that was lost. And no one can find it. And the U.S. was obviously like, we want to know what was in there. And so they got the remote viewer and the remote that guy, the agent. Agent Charboiled.
You just gave up. I try to power through sometimes. And you were just like, and the that guy.
Agent Charboiled sits down and he pinpoints
with
this
his
location.
Son Ashton.
He gives the location of where it crashed. And they go to that location. It was actually a mile away from where he said it was. But I mean, nobody knew where it was. They found out they recovered it. They also identified.
That's so much trust in this, though.
It is. Well, here's what they would do. Here's what they would do.
That's like, all right, let's spend a lot of military resource to go find this thing that you say is right there.
I'll explain that because it's a little more understandable with one of the things that they did for it. So, but before I'll talk about a little bit of their success, they did they located a Russian submarine that was traveling in the Pacific that they had claimed was this new kind of submarine that nobody knew about. And they said that they're going to release it to the public. I don't know what you call it, or send it on a mission. Mm. Its first like voyage in 100 days, and 111 days after that, it was spotted in the Pacific Ocean and it matched the description. But it was previously undiscovered. Or unknown to us.
So the remote viewer uncovered that they were going to do it in 100 days.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So he found it and he's like, yeah, they're getting ready to send it out on its maiden voyage in 100 days. And then we spotted it at 111, 110 days after that. And it matched their description. And they used it in the Iranian hostage crisis. And they actually used them to map out the floor plan of the location where they were and where they were keeping the hostages. And also guard routes of the people who were holding the hostages, like pretty incredible.
What?
Like, and they used that on the mission when they actually went in to retrieve the hostages. They used that information. And
that's also how they got Osama.
Who knows, man? Maybe. And they used that location to find them.
No, never mind.
And then the
that's
FBI,
how they used it to find Osama. And that's what he was like, oh, saw that coming. Cut it to where I said that the first time. Like, you got it out just smooth. Just.
All right. So this the Army starts using it in operations. The CIA is using it in operations.
All through the 80s.
The FBI ends up contracting these agents as well.
To like help us find the Unabomber.
Yeah, actually. They use them to help them find serial killers. And they used the Oklahoma City bombing was actually right after they canceled the program. But the guys who did it helped send information from the remote viewing to where to find them. They're actually wrong on that one, though, because they said the guy was in Springfield, Missouri, and he wasn't.
Did they raid a place in Springfield?
I don't know if they did raid a place in Springfield, but he did say it was he was in Springfield. But I mean, maybe he was and then he left. Who knows? I don't know. But that's not where they found him. So, but that's the thing is...
He's like, he's at Mexican Villa right now.
is in all the research, they did know that it's about 80% accurate. Mm-hmm. So there was a failure rate of about 20%. So I guess we'll talk a little bit about how it works. So it sounds like... when you at like first glance, it sounds like the way it works is they're literally just like closing their eyes and seeing this location. That's not exactly what's happening. It's almost like a good way to picture it that I've seen the people who do it describe it is it's like you have a jigsaw puzzle on a table, but you only have a handful of the pieces and most of the pieces are in the right place. Some of them are in the wrong place. But conveniently, there is another puzzle that somebody else opened and put a couple of the pieces on the table too, because they were like, this will be funny if we did this to you. So
separate puzzle,
a different puzzle.
That is pretty funny.
Yeah.
And so, I was going to get you a gift one time where I just take a puzzle piece out.
That's so annoying.
It's pretty funny to me.
It'd be funny. I think it's funnier to add puzzle pieces that don't belong.
Oh, see,
that's pretty funny.
I mean, it's pretty funny. I don't know. It's kind of funny to take pieces out. I guess that's just my Gen Z humor though.
Oh my gosh. Whatever. Okay. but here's the thing. That's called noise. And so they said, Everybody has noise where it's things that aren't actually there, whether you're seeing something in a different location or a nearby location, or just something, your brain's just making something up entirely. There's always noise. And they said the people who are the weakest at this have a rate of about 80% noise, 20% accurate information. As you get to the higher, it starts to flip more 20% noise, 80% accurate information. And so their goal is obviously to get to more accurate information than noise. But
really,
they're constantly trying to decipher, is this a part of the puzzle or is this noise? Is this fake? Do I got to kick it out? And the way they do that is they're not just seeing the pieces. So they're seeing small pictures of the location as pieces, but they're also all their senses are a part of this. So to use that same illustration, it's like they have this puzzle out. And then on the table, there's also an iPod shuffle. And they put the earphones in and there's just like random sounds coming in through the iPod shuffle that they're hearing. And then there's someone spilled essential oils on the puzzle. And so there's all these smells. And so they're using those smells. And then there's like, you remember when the Rugrats put out that movie where it was like a 3D movie, you put on the 3D glasses and then it came with a scratch and sniff card and you like scratch it and like you'd sniff the card.
I don't remember this at all.
Yeah. It was like, I think it was their movie where they went to Paris.
I remember that movie because they had that dino car thing
A number would pop up in the corner of the screen and like there was you had the card and have the numbers and you scratch the number and you sniff it.
We did not have the same movie viewing experience.
It was really cool. So yeah, stuff like that. And even like feeling like,
so you're saying that they've got their vision, right? And then a number pops up on the bottom corner of the vision. And they got to scratch off a little card.
Yeah, they got to scratch a stiff card they sniff.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. So basically all their senses are being fired of different sensations, even like temperature and emotions. Like they're feeling emotions that convey this location. And they piece all this different information together
to try to figure out these things match.
Yeah,
these don't.
Yeah. What's accurate? What's noise? The most accurate picture of what was going on at that location by looking at all this different stuff.
Sure. Hey, thanks for checking out Things I Learned Last Night. If you like what we're doing and you want to help us do more of it, one way you can do that is to purchase some merchandise. We've got mugs, t-shirts, all that stuff on the website. It's tillin.com/merch. If you go to tillin.com/merch, all of that is there for you to check out, and we would love for you to be a part of the show and helping us to do more things. So thanks for checking this out, and back to the episode.
So, what's interesting though is different people kind of had different, I don't know what you would say.
Could you have two viewers view the same place mm-hmm. and kind of cross examine. So
that's what they would do. Yeah. They typically in operations would have at least four viewers that would be viewing the same location. And they would do the same type of concept where there'd be an interviewer and then the subject. And they would get the coordinates and in a manila envelope, they would all go to different rooms at the same time and they would do their session. So before they wouldn't know what they were viewing, they would get their coordinates and they would do their session and then they cross-reference it. Yeah.
Right.
And then they would cross-reference it with other intel on location. So they would send a spy plane over or have other, and so they would cross-reference all this. This would be just one piece of their intelligence for whatever that operation was.
Sure.
But they used it pretty regularly and it was a pretty common use. The reason they stopped is kind of mysterious. So it stopped shortly after Bill Clinton did a Freedom of Information Act, which had to release this. All this information was included in it.
Right.
So you can actually go to the CIA's website. At the bottom, they have a link to their archives of any information that's been released under Freedom of Information.
Remoteviewer.com.
There is a remoteviewer.com, but it's a little... and so they released these documents and you can just read all the Stanford research articles and then all of the government operations, all 25,000 of them, they have their notes. And like you can see the drawings that the people drew. You can see their notes that they did during their session. You can see the interviewer's notes on what was happening. And they actually have a transcript. There's someone in the room like typing down their conversation, recording everything happened. And then there was like a separate team that would review it and take notes on what happened. And all that's public now. Like you can go view any of it on the CIA's website. And obviously with Freedom of Information Act, like they delete stuff that compromises security. So there's like all sorts of stuff
all
that's
kind
like,
of redacted.
Yeah, blacked out or like pages missing if they deem that it compromises security. But there's a shocking amount of information on there that you can just go read at any time. And
that's what you did this week?
That's what I've done for like a month.
It's just reading $25,000.
Every night for a month, I just sit here and I'm just like, what the heck? How did they do this?
You've been trying it. You called me and said you were trying meditation.
Oh my God.
Like last month or whatever.
So here's what's interesting. There's an overlay here.
Okay.
So people who are really into a certain side of meditation claim that this is something that has been around for millennia and they've been doing it for millennia. There's been no science that's studied these people. It's only been this group, this Stanford research group, right? But the people who claim to do it with meditation, they get there in a very similar way because it starts like you have to clear the mind and you basically meditate. You like go through this clearing the mind process and then you have a researcher who kind of gives you cues and like is helping guide you through the process. So the person's there with you and they're asking you questions and trying to help keep you on task. But it's not the sort of thing where they like go and they're like, their eyes roll in the back of their head and they're like convulsing and they're like, rah. Like they're very present. They're very much there. They have they're in kind of a calm state. Like they made themselves very calm. They like meditated for a second, clear the mind.
Can you do it without longitude, latitude?
Yeah. So they're,
can you focus on like a person?
Yeah. So they would try to do stuff like that. There's not a lot of data on that. The most data I found at least was with just coordinates. They would give them coordinates and they would send them there and tell them to do that. But yeah, the people who would meditate, they were doing crazy stuff with it, like crazy, but it's like, there's no way to verify what they're doing, you know, but they claim they could do all that, but
there's no way to verify any of it, really.
Well, the government was verifying it because they would actually go.
Wouldn't they, though?
In the research, they were doing these immediate feedback. They were taking the photos and they would compare them and they would compare them with intelligence at like actual locations. Yeah. And they would say, this is the same as what...
I don't believe it.
Okay. And then they would compare notes with the four people who did it. So
I just want everyone watching on YouTube to know. It's the YouTube comments. I don't believe any of this.
You just don't want to get murdered in the comments, but you believe it.
What?
You think believe it. You're just lying for the comments.
I'm betraying my truth.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
All right.
I absolutely think that's something you're doing right now.
Okay, whatever. What's next?
So yeah, so when this ended, there's this massive group when it hit the public that was like freaking up in arms about it. Basically the evangelicals. And they're like, we can't do this because God's America wouldn't do that.
Because it's not natural.
It's
and...
Yeah.
The Bible says, well, I don't have any reference against it, but I'll make one.
So the program gets canceled and it's a little murky. Why? It's not sure if it was public pressure. It looks like maybe funding dried up, but it doesn't really cost them much.
Well, I mean, it feels like it's like, it's hard to get people to wrap, because I'm sitting here like, this is all bull.
Yeah. It's hard to get people to believe that it's real. But what to me seems like the most likely reason is way back when Stanford was researching it in the 70s, they noted one thing that they said might make this difficult for espionage, which is what they wanted the purpose to be used for in the beginning.
Right.
And they said that for some reason, and they don't understand why, I couldn't find anything that came up with a reason why, but for some reason, when tasked with identifying numbers remotely, it was incredibly fatiguing for the viewer. They could do it. They could get numbers, but it fatigued them. And actually over time, the more they did this, it worsened their skill and their success rate in all categories would get worse. And obviously in espionage, numbers are important. And so the Stanford Research Institute said, we don't think that this makes sense for espionage because the more you have them view numbers, the worse your agent is going to get and the less reliable they're going to be over time. And you want numbers in espionage. So
yeah,
I'm curious if that played a role in the cancellation of the program, if their most talented people were consistently tasked with viewing these numbers.
And then they weren't talented anymore.
Yeah. So I don't know, but there's not a lot of information on why the program was canceled. But all these people who were a part of it have all since started new groups and schools of remote viewers. So all over the nation and really all over the world, but primarily the US. The US is where it's the most concentrated. There's a couple dozen of these committees or groups or whatever that are training people in remote
viewing. Do we have one in Kansas City?
No.
I knew you looked it up. I knew you looked it up. Yeah, well,
of course I did.
That question wasn't out of interest. That was a... Have you Googled it?
So there's groups everywhere.
Try to go on. Yeah, try to go on. Yeah. Have you tried a remote view?
I think I accidentally did.
Well, that one night that you saw yourself coming through the window?
Okay, first of all...
Sorry, I don't mean to discuss our private phone calls and your meditation.
Okay, so now I have to... Not to defend myself. So here's what happened. A couple months ago,
was like, man, I'm going to try remote viewing.
No, a couple months ago, before I even knew about remote viewing, I was like, man, the church is really freaked out about meditation, like the greater evangelical church, right? Mm-hmm. And they act like it's like this bad thing, but I was like, in my limited understanding of it, I don't see what's bad about it. Like, sure. I couldn't come up with anything biblically. I didn't do any research, but I couldn't come up with anything off the top of my head where I'm like, there's a reason you shouldn't. And so I was like, well, I started to do some research. So I got a couple audiobooks. I listened to them and I was like, this actually sounds useful. Like this sounds like something that's actually like helps you rest and helps you focus better and is good for you. So I was like, I'm going to give it a shot. So I did a couple guided meditations on YouTube one night. And I sat down and it was like 5-minute meditation to improve your focus.
Yeah.
And I did it and it ended and I was like, wow, that's actually like super nice. I kind of want to do another one. And so I did like one that's supposed to help you sleep better. Right. And I did it and I was like, gosh, I kind of love this. This is really cool. And so I'm like, I'm going to do another. So I'm scrolling through YouTube and I find one that says,
go ahead. Come on, Tim. No. Go ahead. Share it with the listeners.
Guided meditation for interdimensional travel. Warning, this will cause an out-of-body experience.
So this man is like, yeah, this reduces stress. This one helped me sleep better. This one's going to help me with interdimensional travel.
I literally looked at it and I was like, I'm sitting on my living room floor. It's like 11:45.
A grown man. You have a wife.
It's like 11:45 PM on a Tuesday.
You have a wife who's dedicated her life to you and she's in the other room.
Asleep. And I'm just like.
And you're just out there like experimenting with interdimensional travel.
Scrolled on YouTube. And I remember I was
from
like.
From YouTube.
I remember just sitting there and be like, oh, let's give it a shot.
my DoorDash isn't coming for another 20 minutes. So, I mean, I guess we'll try it.
It's like, click, dip, pop those earbuds in. And I start doing the process and it like starts, she explains it and she explains the whole thing. I was like, this is dumb. This isn't going to work. This is stupid. Mm-hmm. Right. It starts and I started doing the process and I was like, well, I mean, so we're doing the meditation, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And she starts describing all this stuff and like all the stuff you're supposed to see. And I'm like, well, I'm like, I can picture this, but I'm not really seeing it, you know? And so I was like very skeptical. I'm going through the process and she's like, now, you're walking out of yourself and there's a window in front of you. Go through the window. And mm-hmm. so I'm like, okay, I'm like picture. And I'm like sitting there. I'm like, this is really abstract. This is weird. I don't feel like this is doing anything. Like I'm not buying in it, you know? But I'm trying to play along. I'm trying to have an open mind. And so I go through the window. And at that moment, like I get through the window, Bree, I didn't know she woke up. I had my headphones in, but she like woke up and she went to the bathroom and she slammed the door shut on accident on her way back to the bedroom. And it brought me back. And I still can't describe this really well. And I can't wrap my brain around this, but the best way I could describe what happened to me was I shot across the room and hit myself. Like back through the quote unquote window and like hit myself in the chest. And then like it was like picture like someone like, if you ever seen in a movie where like someone drowns in the pool and they get resuscitated and they're like,
yeah,
like it like hit me. And I was just like there again. And I was like, I was like, what the heck? What? And it was strange because it wasn't like I fell asleep. Like I was coherent the whole time. Like there wasn't a single moment where I was like, oh, I'm dozing off. I wasn't even tired. Like, I was skeptical of it until that moment where like I felt myself move across and hit myself pretty hard and then just kind of come back. And I still don't, I like took my earbuds out. I was like, I'm done. I'm going to bed. I'm over this.
Have you tried it again?
Okay. So I did.
Yeah. I knew it. Dude, my questions aren't out of interest. My questions are to shame you. That's what I'm doing right now. I go, you tried it again, didn't you?
So yeah, but I made a mistake when I did it again. Because here's what I did. I started really late and I did it after a couple other meditations. But this time when I was doing it, I was doing it on the couch and I actually did fall asleep. Like I fell asleep. I woke up and I was like laying on the couch and I had my earbuds in and it's like 10 videos down the line and she's like talking in my ear. Trying to get me to do something else at this point. I don't know. And I was like, oh, frick. I fell asleep in the middle of this.
Train your brain to think that broccoli tastes like pizza.
Guided meditation. It tastes pizza whenever you bite into anything.
Yeah. You know, I think that's what, like, you know, they try to hypnotize your brain or whatever.
Yeah. So I still can't explain it. It freaked me out. It was a weird experience. Mm-hmm. But
you know what was crazy is that night I was remote viewing you do that. And I looked up and I was like, whoa, Tim's freaking out. And I said, oh, there goes Bree. She's going to the bathroom. Let's see what happens. She's going to wake him up. Nope. Oh.
Oh, there he is. Oh,
he just spazzed out. All
He's
right.
back.
It seems like he hit himself. Huh.
So here's
I watch
where,
you a lot.
Here's where the story gets kind of wild, though.
Well, this is already a... Okay.
Bro, you don't even know. this is where things get a little wild.
How far are we into this episode are we?
Okay, this isn't that much longer. We're cutting some stuff out.
I'm not worried about the time. I'm just saying at an hour into an episode is when you're going, here's where this gets interesting.
That's par for the course.
Okay, what? Go ahead.
So they, the government, right? They're testing all this. They're doing it and they're doing these missions and they're like, this has been pretty successful. And they said, I wonder what else we could do. and so they said, let's try time. And so they said, what if they can view things in different times?
Okay. So the question I asked was valid.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so they actually sat down, they started testing it. And what they would do with these tests is they would find old photos of obscure locations that were like dated, right?
Okay.
And so they would give them coordinates and a date and they found the same accuracy rating. And this is a little harder
in the past.
Yeah. In the past. And so they would have those photos with the date and the time, the date and the locate the coordinates.
Legend has it that one of them confirmed who shot JFK.
Well,
and they killed him on the spot.
Actually, there's one guy who claims that they asked him to watch that, to go back and see if they could verify if they were correct or not. But here's what's difficult. Here's what's difficult. With things like this, through time, it's significantly harder to verify.
Sure.
So they know they were
It's harder to verify unless you have a picture of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they were, what they would do when they would do this time test is they would do the pictures that were timed that would have the date on it. And then they would verify it. But they also
couldn't do future, though.
They would also do groups. Well, they did, but they couldn't verify future. And that's what's difficult.
Well, I mean, like if they... I guess, like, I mean, you know, if someone says something and then you...
Wait to see if it happens.
Yeah, but I mean, like, then you risk the potential of making it happen where it otherwise wouldn't have.
I guess maybe true. But they would do the same process they would do before. It'd be these double-blind studies where they would have multiple subjects trying to view the same thing. They'd have a date and they would see the same success rate. So they started using their best agents to do this with the future, to identify things in the future. And all of this information is redacted. Like, you can't find it anywhere. Any of their future stuff is redacted. But apparently...
Well, the thing is that they have to be very specific about the thing that they're giving them to go to. So, I mean, like, as far as future, you would have to...
Well, they would give them coordinates and time and dates, and they would have to give them information. And here's where it got, I guess, more useful for them. As they started saying, okay, well, they can view times, they can view coordinates. What do they need? Coordinates? Do they need times? Or can we just give them an abstract idea? So they started feeding them information about things and trying to give them more abstract thoughts. So they would give them like they would find a location that had an object that they would want them to view. And then they would give them the dictionary definition of that object, but it's like an obscure object. So they're not going to immediately know, okay, it's describing this. And then they would have to go find that object and describe that object and what was around it. And it was same accuracy ratings.
No.
And so they were able to go and spot these things. And so they started using them to identify enemy military bases, and they were having success. They were finding bases that we didn't know about. By using this ability to just say, hey, go find some bases. And they would. And then we would send other intelligent, like spies and spy planes and things like that, and we would find the locations that they would describe.
Do we know anything about the personalities of these kind of people?
They were all different. They were...
I didn't know if like they were just like the nerdy people or if they were just like the jock from Breakfast Club, you know, where he's just like... Whatever.
Let me just.
Yeah, I didn't know if they were like.
It was interesting. A lot of the original people that they got as the psychics they drafted were the same kind of like what you picture a psychic to be like.
Madame Zeroni.
Yeah. But as they started training people, I mean, there's people from all sorts of different backgrounds doing this as they started training people, and so they were very different people involved in it and doing it, and so then it got really spooky because they said, okay, so we can view through time. We don't need coordinates. Like, how far can this go? And so they started telling them they did one. There's one operation that's public. There's a lot of operations that are
not public,
like theories of this happened, or one of the agents talks about how he did a certain thing, you know, whatever.
Sure.
But the one that is public on like the CIA released this information. They told them, what is it? Saturn or Jupiter?
Saturn or Saturn. Yeah.
Okay. Whatever. So Titan, the moon of one of the moons of Saturn.
Of Saturn. Yes.
They told them, hey,
go to Titan,
at 1 million years ago. And they did it. And they did it with the same process, the same people who had the same success rates, and they did it separately. And what lined up for all of them was what they viewed is there was some sort of event that led a group to end up on Titan, a group of like living sentient beings to end up on Titan.
A million years in the future, or a million years ago?
A million years ago. And this group ended up on Titan, it was a sentient group of people that ended up there, and some disaster happened, and they got stuck, and they all knew they were going to die there. That's what was coherent and consistent across the board from all of them. And none of them knew that's where they were going before the experiment. It all lined up. Obviously, we can't verify this. There's no way to know for sure if that's accurate at all. And there's no way we ever would. But we do know that these guys have a pretty proven track record that they chose to do it and that they cross-referenced it and there was consistencies. Another one, one of the ones that hasn't been released is actually about Mars. Same time frame, 1 million years ago. And on Mars, they described massive structures and large, very skinny, very tall humanoid type beings that were
so now
and
we're,
pyramids.
No, listen, this is where the YouTube people come in here. All right. So now we're talking about psychedelics. We're talking about psychics. We're talking about remote viewers and also freaking aliens.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's the thing. Here's the thing. There's no way to know for sure.
I hate our podcast now. I hate this show because we turned into like one of those, like we turned into the 11 o'clock, like the 1 a.m. hour on History Channel is what this has become. Okay.
That's every hour on History Channel.
No. Sometimes the History Channel documentaries are like fun little Civil War things. All right. And then sometimes they're just like, listen, things are pretty weird. What are you doing right now?
I'm looking up the History Channel schedule today.
Oh my God. What are you looking at? TV Guide?
Yeah.
You remember we used to have those? Yeah.
Oh, this is kind of funny.
What is it? Civil War?
Ancient aliens, Pawn Stars, Pawn Stars, Pawn Stars, Pawn Stars. And then back to Ancient Aliens for an hour and then Pawn Stars, Pawn Stars, Pawn Stars.
That's pretty funny.
Here's the thing. So they started doing all this stuff that's like, okay, that's crazy. And it's interesting that it lines up, but you can never verify it.
Right.
You can never say if they're accurate.
Right or wrong.
And you know there's a fail rate. You know there's a rate where they end up being wrong. So you can't say for sure.
But if all four of them are saying the same thing.
Yeah, but if all four of them have consistencies and they have a proven track record behind this where it's led to accurate things, you got to ask yourself, is there something
going on? But you're also
going to
ask yourself, are all four of these hanging out together? All right. Maybe they're one night late at the Bees, the Applebee's. Half price apps. They're slinging some quesadillas around. All right. You know? They're building little huts out of mozzarella sticks, you know, and they're just looking at each other like, hey guys, what if tomorrow we like say there's aliens? They can't prove it. They can't. I mean, like we've got a proven track record. That's funny.
They can't prove it. They don't know what they're going to get sent to. Though.
Are you saying that there are some things need to be taken seriously?
I'm saying they didn't know what they were going to get sent to. So
yeah,
no
but
way.
I'm saying like, what if whatever it is tomorrow, whatever it is, we say aliens.
They all like they're all in their separate rooms.
And like right before they go in, they all like, it's like I see it as a movie sequence. It's all a hallway. They're all standing outside the hallway, right? And they all look at each other and they're like.
And then the guy in the lab coat hands them the envelope. They sit down and
they're
it's the four, yes. It's the four panels. You see all of them obviously. In unison, open the, and they look and they're like,
and they're all like,
they're like, you can see they try not to laugh. Mm.
Now here's the thing about Titan. Interesting that you bring this up.
There's conspiracies up the wall of things that these people have seen.
Sure.
But what we know for sure is that there was real science done to prove that there was at least a level of accuracy.
Yeah.
And then the government trained people to do this for 30 years and was actively doing it. 25,000 operations. Which is insane. And they were doing it with some level of accuracy. So there's something weird here. And what's interesting is the Stanford Research Institute never draws a conclusion. They say, we don't know how this happens. Like they were like, we've been doing experiments trying to figure out, but the way they described it, they said there's some sort of mental highway that can connect people to
Is there a way to help improve it? Like a natural remedy? Like maybe someone, you know, essential oils, or maybe they just put like a lot of oregano on there with their food. It really helps. Alex looks about as confused as everyone listening, probably. There's a girl I used to be really into who the other day posted about how oregano has changed her whole healthy living situation. And Tim thinks that's the funniest thing in the world. No, I get double oregano on my pizza. It's really changed my life. Yeah. I don't need a vaccine. I got oregano.
Yeah, I got my first dose of oregano today. What's in that syringe? It's just a bunch of water down oregano. It's just straight
up. Yeah. It's just liquid Italian seasoning.
We just put it in a blender with some water.
Every morning I just put paprika in my eyes. And I'll tell you what, I don't even need contacts anymore. Can't see a thing.
I got paprika pupils. So... really helps me see far. My paprika.
Hold on, I'm seeing something right now. Actually, hold on, I got something. There's a tall humanoid figure.
Okay, describe what's he doing? What's the scene around him?
I don't know if I can pick out a scene. It seems like there's an audience. There's okay. People watching. He's on stage.
Focus on the figure.
I'm on the figure.
Yes.
I'm gonna focus on the figure. I guess. The figure? Is that what you mean?
No.
See, now I'm not focused.
Focus.
I'm focused on the humanoid. He's holding something.
Describe it.
I think it's a fiddle.
What's he doing with the fiddle?
I think he's fiddling off the devil.